Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. How great. Thank you very much. Bless you. Well, thank you very much. I'm really honored and blessed. Why don't you give the Lord a clap and honor him? He's the hero of our story. We love you, Jesus. We honor you today. We open our hearts for all you want to say and do. Thank you, Lord. What a great day to be alive. Amen. Well, please be seated. Well, great to see so many of you here. And thank you, Pastor Wes and Janet, for the way you've hosted us and always look after us. We always love coming here. And I don't go to many places in New Zealand, but I love coming here. And because I enjoy the spirit of faith. I enjoy the common fellowship we have and things of the kingdom. And just the joy and fun that we have together. You know, a lot of people are too serious for their own good, you know. But if we come here, we can laugh and yet be very, very committed and serious about the things of the Lord. And great to have you as friends, and we've loved being in the journey with you over a long time. So I send gifts and memes to them as well, just to make sure they don't get too serious. Well, we've had such a great time. I can't believe we've done 7 schools. I don't know where I ever found that much to talk about, but however, my wife says that's your gift. Anyway, so we've recently, of course, celebrated Pentecost, and I want to share with you something around that. And some of the different schools, we've talked about deliverance, we've talked about the heart, we talked about building the spirit man. These are all things very, very important. And more recently, in the last few years, I've made an intentional commitment to an apostle so I could engage in the harvest, end time harvest. And so I've been working with Apostle Maldonado in Miami and traveling around the world to go with him and to work as part of an apostolic team. So rather than just doing my own ministry, being part of a bigger team that can have a bigger impact. And so we've been able to go to a number of nations. Last year went to Panama. I've started to go into South America now, which is quite, it's a long way to get there, but I've just out 2 days, you'll be there, don't worry. 2 days, you'll be home, don't worry. And then about 5 days there. And we do some pastors' conferences and do some crusades as well. And my part is to flow with him and I add to him what God has given me a strength to do and a grace to do, which is the deliverance. And so this year, and I'll show you a few pictures of it, but this year we're in, I've just come back recently from Argentina and from Venezuela. Venezuela, both places we had amazing moves of God, and just to see the harvest is deeply touching. It just is deeply touching, and to feel that I have a part in it, and my part is primarily with the pastors and leaders to deliver them from demons and to impart to them the ability to flow in deliverance, which God has increased my capacity to do it. Last conference we had about 7,000 or 8,000 pastors there and leaders, and God moved in one meeting, whoosh, over the whole lot. It was just amazing time seeing God touch. Wow. And so it's exciting to know. You can read in the world and what's happening and be disheartened, but you need to actually be intentional about limiting that exposure and seeing what God is doing. And we need to do that. We need to focus where our attention is. I was looking at a verse. I put it down here somewhere. I'll just give it to you now. In Psalm 145, verse 4 and 5, it says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate." Now, that meditate means you spend time thinking and you keep thinking about it constantly. Now, everyone is meditating. It's just you choose to meditate what you're going to meditate on. You can choose to meditate on the fears and anxieties and worries and all this sort of thing. Or you can do what the Bible says to do, to meditate on the glorious majesty of God and his wondrous works. And so one of the things that helps us grow in our faith and keeps us stable is to be intentional about meditating on what God is like. And I've shared how to do that in series on building the spirit man and transforming your heart. But it also tells us to meditate on his wondrous works. So what happens then when you're not experiencing or seeing many great works of God, it's very easy to your whole faith and your expectation of God to drop right down. So we need to hear stories of God moving constantly. We need to focus our attention on God doing things constantly. So if God did anything for you over this weekend or any time through, you need to declare and testify. New Zealanders are very reluctant to share what God has done in their life. But you have to realize that the blessing, the miracle God gives you is not just for you. If it's just for you, you'll lose what you have. The miracle God gives you is to pass on. I will bless you. You will become a blessing. So when you testify what God is doing or done in your life, then you cause faith to be imparted that God could increase that work and repeat that work and do it again in the life of someone else. So the miracles of God create in our heart faith that God would do it again. They provide a momentum of miracles. That's why you'll find in meetings where there's big crusades, they will get people up to testify of the miracle God has done, because it causes a release of anointing that lifts the faith atmosphere and more miracles can take place. What God did for them, God could do for you. You understand? So really, we are called to meditate and reflect on what God has done. And so often we forget and we just get caught up and so on. So I want to then just talk, I'm going to share just about the power of Pentecost. But I want to start with this verse here, first of all. And in James 5, verse 7, it says, "Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." So that word patient means to endure, to remain full of positive hope until the coming of the Lord. But he hasn't come yet, so we should still be patient, enduring, and joyful. And see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. So he's talking about waiting for the Lord. And then he says, now, I want to draw your attention to farmers, because you all know this one. And you see how the farmer waits for the early rain, and then he waits for the latter rain. And he waits patiently for it. He can't hurry the early rain. He can't hurry the latter rain. And he says, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it till it receives the early and latter rain. So it says, you also be patient or endure and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So he's referring that Jesus will return again, and it's necessary for us to remain patient or to stay persevering in our journey with the Lord, because and establish our heart. What do you establish your heart in? Faith in the Lord. And so he's saying that, and using the example of a farmer, is wanting the fruit of the earth. He's wanting a harvest. But he said the harvest, he waits for what? He waits for the early rain, the first rain that softens the earth and gets it ready for the harvest. And then the latter rain, which then prepares or gives what's needed for the harvest. And then suddenly he's in harvest mode. So he's using the same analogy here. The analogy of rain, the rain is referring to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we'll see as we look in a moment, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was the early rain. But there is also a latter rain. And the latter rain, the outpouring of the Spirit, will result in the huge end-time harvest. So I believe we're in that season now. As you look at all of these events in the earth and you see the injustice, the corruption, the blatant erosion of all that our nation has been built on, moving it away from its Christian foundations and opening the door for demons, you see basically the tears growing up. You see the tears coming up. But what we should fix our eyes on is not all the things around us that are happening. Be aware of them, but don't make them your focus, because it'll cause you to be disheartened. It'll cause you to be angry. It'll cause you to lose your confidence in God. Our hope is not what the media tells us. Our hope is not what the next election will be or the next virus will be. Our hope is the coming and return of Jesus Christ, which will be accompanied by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a massive harvest. And of course, when you're struggling to see even one or two souls, it's hard to even comprehend the massive harvest. And that's why I've been going to these places, not only to labor and help in it, but and to partner in the big harvest, to add my bit to making it happen, but also to have my own faith built, that even though it may not be harvest time, we may not be receiving the great flow of souls yet, that it is happening in places in the world. It's happening at a stunning rate. It's phenomenal. I was in Argentina. I wept to see 10,000 people stream to the front to give their lives to Christ. It's like, it's overwhelming to see it. Quite just very deeply heart-touching. And you realize then that's what we long for in our nation. Our nation's hope is revival. And the only way revival comes is a praying church that believes in and activates the power of God. Any idea? Okay, then. So I want to just talk about Pentecost, help you just get the big picture. But before, as we do that, you need to kind of, we hear Pentecost, and we call ourselves Pentecostals, but many Pentecostals haven't a clue what it's all about, where it fits in the bigger picture. So I want to show the bigger picture, then we'll come down to what happened, then look what happened when Pentecost was restored, and then I'll show you what we saw when we were away just in Venezuela. Okay, so let's have a look. And so you find in Leviticus 23, verses 1 and 2, and then in Deuteronomy 16, 16. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, these are the feasts of the Lord, which you proclaim to be a holy convocation. They are my feasts." And then it goes down in Deuteronomy 16, 16. "Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place he chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread or Passover, at the feast of weeks, 50 days later, or Pentecost, at the feast of tabernacles in the seventh month. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." So notice he's saying these are the feasts, or these are the celebrations of the Lord. They're not a man-made idea. These are God's celebrations that he appointed in Israel, that they would be celebrated every year. There would be three times in the year when they would be commanded to gather and celebrate. That's something else, isn't it, eh? That God loves you to get together and celebrate and rejoice and have fun. And so three times he did it. Now, each of the three feasts got a lot of detail to it, but if we just pick it very simply, the first feast was the Feast of Passover. The Feast of Passover celebrated that they were in bondage in Egypt, they were in slavery in Egypt, they were bitter because of their life, and they could not get free, they were trapped, they were enslaved. And when Moses came, the power of God was demonstrated. They then shed the blood of the lamb over their doorposts, and that night they escaped out of Egypt, and they went through the waters of the Red Sea and then out into the wilderness onto a promised land, led by the cloud of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is very clear that that feast that they were to celebrate, which was for them historical, it already happened when God said celebrate it, that feast of Passover, which they celebrated, was fulfilled literally in the spirit, or spiritually, when Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross at the same time of the day as they were offering the Passover lamb. They had been doing this celebration for 1,500 years or so, and then finally Jesus came, the Lamb of God, whose blood would satisfy the demands of God, and it would free us from sin and curses and sickness and demonic powers, and establish us as people who are free and able to enter a new kingdom. Amazing. So the feast then that God commanded was God's idea because of something he wanted to keep hope alive. And then they had to, when once it had been fulfilled for them physically, he wanted them to celebrate it and remember it, not forget it, and know that there's something coming that be the real fulfillment of that. It would give them hope. Sad thing is that they didn't recognize it when it happened. Having celebrated 15 years, never actually understood when it was happening, what God was doing, and then couldn't enter into it. Whenever there was a backsliding, they forgot the Feast of Passover. Whenever they revived again, attention was given back to the Feast of Passover. Okay, then it came to the time of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, 50 days after Passover, and they had another feast called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost. And that was the Feast of Passover was the barley harvest. The Feast of Pentecost was the wheat harvest. Each of the feasts is connected to harvest. So the restoration of the truth that we were saved by faith in the blood of Jesus produce a harvest of souls. But there was a second feast that God said, and they celebrated every year unaware of what it would look like when it was prophetically fulfilled. And then, as we're going to look at it, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God fell. This was called the early rain. So when we look at it was a very light rain. It was the latter rain was the heavy rain. The early rain was quite a light rain, just to soften the soil and get it ready for the planting, ready for the harvest. But the latter rain was the big one. That actually really gave nourishment and caused all the fruit to ripen, and the great harvest took place following the latter rain. Okay then, so at the outpouring of Pentecost, then the Spirit of God fell. We're going to look at what happened to them. That was fulfilled at the Feast of Pentecost. And then, of course, then there's another feast, the third feast, called the Feast of Tabernacles. Passover has been fulfilled. Tabernacles has been fulfilled. The Feast of Tabernacles has not yet been fulfilled. So in other words, we are yet awaiting the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We are waiting prophetically for the outpouring of God, which will exceed what happened at Pentecost. It is the great outpouring. It is the end time revival. It is the end time outpouring of the Spirit. It is the end time glory of God manifesting. See? And see, this is what we're to look forward to, because it'll be followed by the coming of the Lord. So you can make the focus of your life all the COVID things and the corruption and what the UN are doing and Fauci's doing, all these other people. Or you can get into the Word of God and make God's agenda the focus of your attention. If you focus on what other people's agenda are, you'll be very disheartened. But if we focus on God's agenda, then we become patient, established in our heart, awaiting, expecting, looking expectantly for the coming of the Lord, and maintaining a life that honors Him. Hello. Come on. That's what we're on about. Okay, getting the idea. So those are the three feasts. So all were part of they're all connected to a harvest of some kind. And so we're awaiting that. So it's a celebration. So God said, I want you to celebrate it. Okay, then now let's have a look. And we should look at some time on the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a whole range of things happen at that time. And we're right on the edge of that feast being fulfilled now. We've had the restoration of Israel back to its land. We have the conflict that goes on around that. And we have all of the signs of the end time harvest. So that's why I've partnered with Apostle Maldonado, whose focus is on the end time harvest, the end time revival, the end time glory. And I'll share with some of the things we're beginning to see happening now, which are just stunning. They are so stunning. Your mind takes time to comprehend it could be true. But even the outpouring at Pentecost was stunning. So let's have a look at that. So what happened at Pentecost? And we read in Acts chapter 2, and let's read the first six verses. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, what's happened is they have gathered. Now, they all knew Jesus had told them to remain in Jerusalem and await the promise of the Father. They had no idea what that would be. Like, we have no idea in some ways what the coming of the Lord will look like, except there's hints in Scripture, and when you look at them, oh, it's dramatic. It'll be the center of news. There'll be no other news. That'll be the news. That'll be the only news. Everything else will be irrelevant. And so Acts chapter 2, they're waiting, and they're united, and they're praying, and they're basing their prayer on the promise of God. But not everyone was there. 500 saw the Lord, but only 120 there in the upper room, indicating a lot of people just got disheartened and fell away. So, in the day of Pentecost had fully come, they're all gathered with one accord in one place. There was a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, one set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together. What sound? This sound, the sound from heaven. It was a big sound. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
A sound from heaven that is so loud, people are drawn because they want to hear what happened. It really. So we had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost around the 90s, and I have actually listened to the tape, the recording of this happening. I've listened to it. Quite something else. Now, it was a smaller church, a group of maybe about 50 people in a room, and they had just a person with a guitar, maybe someone on the keyboard, and then they had the song leader. Now, you understand, anyone who understands a little bit about sound, if I'm holding a microphone up here, for me to be drowned out is going to require an extremely loud sound because I've got the microphone near me like that. So it will require an extremely loud sound for the microphone no longer to be able to pick up me. It's picking up something else. Okay, so when you listen to it, it's like they're just singing, just like a normal church service, and the lady's exhorting them to enter into worship. She said, the presence of God is coming, the presence of God is coming in this place. And as she began to say it, there was the sound of angelic singing. So there was the music they were playing, and then suddenly there came the sound of angels singing, and the whole room filled with the sound, a loud, loud sound, so loud that when you're listening to it, you can hardly hear the girl's voice. The sound of the singing is so loud. So what happened? There was a manifestation from heaven of angels singing. So what happened? People did one of two things. They fell on the ground and started to weep as the presence of God came, or they screamed and ran out of the building in terror. There was no kind of like, we'd just sit there and have a look and get our camera out and take a picture. The only reason they got any recording is because it was a live recording at the back, and the guy there was out to it. He fell off the seat and he's down. Everyone's down on the floor. So you're either down on the floor or running for your life. There was no... See, that was recently. That's not that long ago. But the noise or the sound was very, very loud. And so that's what happened there. I mean, I know you've read the verse, but the trouble is we read it, but it doesn't comprehend. And so the sound was so loud that it attracted everyone in the area. Now imagine if there's this incredibly loud sound. So you've got a jet engine, and we start the jet engine up. Soon the neighbors are going to come out and want to find out, what the heck is that? What is all that noise? Even if you've got a helicopter, they have a loud noise. You land a helicopter on here, people are going to look out the window to find. Why? Because of the sound. They want to know, what is that sound? And that's what happened here. So there's a sound came from heaven, and there were flames of fire. Now, most pictures you see, it's got some little wee tongue of fire on it. I don't think it was anything like that. I think there's major flames of fire that's a dramatic event. And then people were filled with the Holy Ghost, absolutely filled, overflowing, began to pray in tongues, and the people coming there said they're drunk. So they must have been staggering around. They're probably laughing their head off. They're filled with joy. They're actually overflowing. This is the early reign of the Spirit. And it caused everyone to come around because of the noise. I initially, when I read it, thought it was the noise of the people speaking in tongues. I've come to conclude it was probably the noise of the Holy Ghost falling was so loud they wanted to find out what had happened. And so the crowds came, and that day as Peter preached, 3,000 people came to the Lord. Just on that one message, on that one outpouring, the early rain, the harvest began. And then you follow that, and you see many mighty miracles were done. It pays to look through it and see there were lots and lots and lots of miracles. So there was, people were filled with the Spirit. There were manifestations supernaturally. People filled with the Holy Ghost, laughter, drunkenness, speaking in tongues, and a harvest of souls. And then if you look afterwards, you find amazing miracles took place. There's an outpouring of miracles. The Bible says in Acts 5:2, many wonderful signs and wonders were done at the hands of the apostles. Signs and wonders? And what is a wonder? Wonder is, whoa, that's beyond belief. You marvel because you can't explain. It's just a wonder. Signs, there's some miracles, and then wonders. And then it goes on a little later on and talks with Paul. Many unusual miracles were done by Paul in Acts 19. Unusual. Man, we're happy to see a miracle. Unusual ones? I'll show you some unusual ones. Yes, just unusual. It's like, did I really see that? Did that really happen? That's so stunning. See, we've got to remember how great our God is, how great He is and what He's capable of, so you don't get overwhelmed by what's going on around you. Amen? And then, of course, there's Peter. He's walked down the street and everywhere, every shadow went, people were healed. That is a wonder. That is a wonder. Can you imagine what would happen now? You can hardly get into a doctor's, and then you hear some guy, where's this, walking down the street, and wherever his shadow goes, everyone gets healed. Man, they're going to, where is he next? Some give me a schedule. Where is he? Who is he? What happened? So you notice that this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of our God. He's the Spirit of power. He's the Spirit that places you into sonship. He's the Spirit of adoption. He's the Spirit of might. He's the Spirit of comfort. He's the one God has given to be with you so you could do great works for God. You could influence the community for Him. He's the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit that imparts life into us. I couldn't do what I do at my age without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When I feel it on me, I just come alive and get energized. Should be at home just lying around, I suppose. But no, I'm on planes going to revivals. It's not for me to stay home. Do you understand? The Spirit gives life and excites passion for God. And you just want more and more of Him. Just been to the last revival I went to, and the second day of the pastor's conference, I'd done the weightlifting, we got all these people delivered, and the second day, we usually do the first day, you minister to pastors, second day, build them up and impart to them. Last meeting is usually on the harvest, or it's on soul winning, or it's something like that, or it's on the glory. And this time, Pastor Maldonado spoke on the end time glory. And of course, part of it is the building of the worship atmosphere for God to come. And he was building the atmosphere. And this was so good with it, you know. We had 9,000 people all singing their heads off and singing hallelujah. This was just, I'm just stunned. So I got my camera, I just went around like that. Went around twice. And then as I got to the end, the second time, I said, stop recording. And I stopped recording, put my phone down. And as soon as I looked to the front, then the glory of God came over the whole congregation. And it was like, and now I'm further than the back of that tent from the platform. Poof, down on the ground and having an encounter with God and just weeping and weeping and feeling like my whole inner man is yearning for this God who loves me like this. And it was like a wind going over the wheat. It just went right across. The glory of God. And then many, many miracles, all kinds of things happening. Just stunning. It so impacted me. Just so addictive. Man, you think a shot of cocaine will make you addicted. Listen, mate, you got nothing compared to having a shot of the glory. Oh, I got to have more of that. We do need the presence of God. We need to engage Him, you know. Okay, then. So that was it. So that was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, the problem was, as you follow church history, as the church became organized and became the official religion, then it lost its, become an institutional church. It lost it all, but God had a plan of revival. And so we find in the 1500s with Martin Luther, preached and proclaimed the Passover, that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And there was a global move of God. And then there were other moves of God. There was a move of baptism, water baptism. Now, every one of these moves of God were accompanied by the power of God, by harvest, and also by a lot of opposition. And so you start to look through, and we aren't going through, I'll just do it quick. But there was the move to restore water baptism. And when that came, they used to drown the Baptists. They used to put them under the water and hold them down. And there was persecution of people. There was a holiness move. And then in the late 1800s, there were great revivals, the Welsh Great Revival. You want to read it and understand that a nation could be changed by God, you know, with the pubs all closing down, no business anymore. Because people are all at the revivals. Schools, just having moves of God, kids being slain, the whole school at once. just the power of God coming. You've got to read these things because they encourage you that a nation can be changed with a visitation of God, a move of God. Not just a little bit of the Holy Ghost and people laughing and whatever, but actually transformation of lives. It's just we need that so desperately, a reformation. A reformation, not just a revival, the core of our nation's culture shifted. Because when a culture goes into decline, the people's character goes into decline. That's why the culture goes into decline. Then what happens is they don't want to be responsible. They want to transfer responsibility to the government. Government power increases, and then freedom is diminished. And that's the season in history we are in the Western culture. The revivals have come, the culture changed, Christianity was established, now it's being rejected everywhere, other demonic powers are coming in, and now there's like a demand, someone take care of me. All of that is massive cultural decline. And the only answer to it can never be a change of government. That is a temporary fix. What is needed is reformation, a move of God that turns the hearts of people. Right? Okay, so at Azusa Street, then what happened then, there was a group of people got together. Now, one of the guys who gathered them all together was a guy, William Seymour. William Seymour was a black man with one eye. But he was rejected from the meetings. They were holding meetings to share the revival in Wales, and he wasn't allowed in because he's black. So he would hang around at the door and the window, and he'd be listening in, and God did something in his heart. And so he gathered a few people together to pray. And they gathered in a house, and they began to pray in 1906. And as they prayed, they had no idea what was going to happen. They just wanted afresh. They wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they began to pray and pray and pray. And then one night, suddenly, so remember, suddenlies take place after lots of things happened. It's then when you least expect it, suddenly, whoa, where did that come from? And God suddenly arrived. And so the whole lot were just slain in the spirit, and they started to speak in tongues. Now, people got to hear of that, and so other people came around. They outgrew the house, had to get something a little bit bigger, and then it got so, the move of God, and it becomes so strong, and people so energetic, they were jumping and shouting and dancing and twirling and whatever. They broke the floor of it, so they had to get a bigger room. So this is the beginning of the Arts of Azusa Street revivals, eh? And so a monumental revival began. You don't hear much about it, but the worshippers would shout. They were shouting, they were weeping, they were laughing, they were dancing, they went into trances where they sing into the second heaven, or the third heaven rather. They sang in tongues, they interpreted, there were angelic activity. It was like that. And the Holy Ghost, here, look at this. The presence of God was so strong that two blocks from the church, people would be touched by the power of God and convicted of their sins and repent. Two blocks from the church, people would fall under the power of God. No one's talking. This is just the presence of God manifest. And it's just extraordinary. So sometimes people, they make an altar call, say like an altar call we have here, that everyone everywhere in the building was slain in the spirit. Just everyone fell over all at the one time. Imagine that. Because everyone fell over. No pushing, no shoving, not even any touching. Bump! Everyone's down like that, like someone shot the lot. Just all over on the ground, weeping, crying, speaking in tongues. The power of God was so enormous. And so there are many, many things happened in that. There were many miracles. So one of the miracles, they had lots of people come in wheelchairs. So if anyone come in a wheelchair, you know, have a wheelchair, have a footrest where you put your foot on, well, what they would do is tell them, if you're going to be, before we pray for you, you have to put the footrest up and put your feet on the ground in expectation you will walk out of this chair. So they wouldn't pray for them if they wouldn't put their feet on the ground and do the best, and put those things up. And then they pray for them, and people would just get up and walk out of the wheelchairs everywhere. Amazing, amazing miracles. I read some of the miracles there. I read out of a book on some of the miracles there. And what was the book called? The book, True Stories of the Miracles at Azusa Street. True Story of the Miracles. Just astonishing. And so, like, there's a woman with disfigured feet. They were turned in. They just slowly turned straight and come like that. We'd probably call them club feet. There was one with polio with a leg four inches shorter than the other. They prayed and just went shoot like that, just grew right in front of their very eyes. There was a woman born blind. All she had was black It was just black. There were no whites of her eyes. And suddenly, after they prayed, she let out this huge scream and she was totally healed. There was a teenage girl they brought in that had third-degree burns. They were so bad you could see the bones. She was in terrible torment and she was dying. They just had her in the meeting there for a couple of hours. And during the 2 hours, all the burns were healed and all the flesh restored. And she got up and there's no pain. She's totally healed. There was a woman came in and she had a tumor about half the size of a baseball ball on the side of her head. She went, they prayed, put their hands on it, prayed. It just dissolved like that and went. Wow. And these are just such amazing miracles. I encourage you to read about them. There was a sign language teacher and she had a group of 30 children that were deaf. And so she did all the sign language for them. They brought the 30 people along into the meeting, and they said, well, look, you better stand back because obviously you're skeptical. But they got them all, and they just began to pray for them, and they had them holding hands, I think. And as they prayed for the first one and commanded the spirit of deafness and infirmity to go, immediately her ears were opened up. And then one after the other, the whole 30 could hear, and the teacher's out of a job. Just amazing miracle, just like that. How about that? And so many. And then there were other things happened. They wrote in the book about the glory cloud coming. And if you look online and YouTube, there are a few clips that seem to be authentic that show like a tent meeting and just like a cloud coming to the meeting. You know, you go look out in the sky, see the clouds, low-lying cloud, like a low-lying cloud in the meeting like that. And then God moving and all kinds of things happening. So they write about it and their experiences with the glory cloud. And it's like unbelievable. They said frequently a white cloud would fill the room or cover the floor. So sometimes it's like, of course, the best we can do is have a smoke machine, which irritates the eyes and annoys old people enormously. So a smoke machine is no substitute for the real thing, holy smoke, you know. And so the presence of God would come in, and sometimes there would be like it would fill the room, and depending on how thick it was, more miracles happen. And so sometimes it's like you've walked into a misty room. The mist would be there. Every part of the room is filled with this mist, and sometimes it would get so thick you couldn't see past two or three or four rows. It's like you couldn't see the people over there. There's just this mist. And sometimes it would fill the room. Sometimes it would be on the floor level up to about here. And the kids would go and play in it, and they'd drop down into it so you couldn't see them. They've just vanished down into it. They're in the glory. And they said that when you got in this mist, they said it's like breathing pure oxygen. You felt highly energized just being into it. They had some people, and they just took them and put them in that space where the glory was, and immediately healed. That girl that had the burns, they put her in where the glory was, and then she just totally recovered, just totally and miraculously restored. Just what our God can do. They had a lady there who came in, and she was on the verge of dying. Her lungs had been eaten out by cancer. She could scarcely breathe. She was in a state of distress. Her weight was down to 30 kilograms. That's really, really light. And they prayed for her, and then they just laid her where the glory was. And over a period of a couple of hours, she was totally healed, and she put on weight. And she put on 20 kilograms. That's almost twice her body weight. And when she went to her doctor to get checked, the doctor did not recognize her. She had to say who she was. And that can't be. That lady's she's suffering from cancer. She said, no, this is me. And of course, doctor cannot comprehend what has happened. Wonderful, amazing miracles. And there were also unusual signs. Some unusual miracles. Well, unusual ones, that's really good. We want any miracle, but unusual ones, that's even better. So a lot of the people in those days had terrible teeth. Teeth were very blackened and sometimes rotten and deteriorated. And in this move of God, many people were praying. Lots of people were involved in the prayer ministry. It wasn't just William Seymour. Lots of other people were involved. This one lady had a particular thing for teeth, and another lady had a particular gift for tumors. And so in the end, she would bring a dustpan and a bucket and a towel. And everyone who had any kind of growth, and there were lots of them, external growths or whatever on their face, she would go and pray for them, and the growth would drop off, and they'd just scoop it up. Wow. And sometimes they'd put the cloth on the face, and then all the skin would recover. And it was just regular. There were so many people that their tumours and growths just dropped off as she prayed. And this other lady had this gift for teeth. And she would have people come up that had rotten teeth. She'd just put a hand inside their mouth. Open your mouth, put a hand inside their mouth, and the teeth would start. She touched the rotten tooth, it would drop out. And they had a basin, just catch all the rotten teeth. There they all are. And just like that. You know, what's happened to me? And then she would put her finger on the gum. And as she prayed in the spirit, the tooth would grow and push her finger away. And they have a full set of teeth again. Wow. Just these are extraordinary. Well, I need that. Come, where is she? amazing. There were over a period of a year, I think there were 30 children that had a cleft palate. Cleft palate's a very serious condition, and every one of them was healed and restored. You couldn't tell there was a problem. Wow. Just like that. Amazing. Of course, the weeping and the joy when you see someone like that, the expression on their faces, you never forget it. You just can't forget the look of absolute joy when someone who is needing a miracle gets a miracle. It's like there's no joy like it. I prayed for a woman in Taiwan who did the sign ministry and she'd been deaf since birth. Prayed for her and spoke and prayed over her ears several times, and then suddenly her hearing was totally restored. And I can see the look on her face, the look of shock, then joy, and then weeping with joy. She was just overwhelmed, absolutely overwhelmed, that for the first time in her life she could hear, and the first thing she's hearing is singing and worshiping and the sound of people praying in tongues. Amazing. So there were lots of amazing things. There was a guy there, and he had an accident. Some machinery had fallen on, totally crushed his legs, and the doctors wanted to amputate them. And so what they did then was he refused to get them amputated, came to the meeting, and so they prayed for him, and they said you could hear audible cracking, and then everything came together, and he stood up and walked and shouted and laughed and danced and loved God. There's another guy there, and he came in, and he had two fingers on his hand had been torn off by a machine. Now, these unusual miracles, two fingers torn off. In other words, the two fingers missing like that. He's like that. And as they prayed for him, the two fingers grew, and there was a creative miracle. They were restored again. Wow. Just like that. Now, wow. In our church, we had Apostle Maldonado come to our city to do meetings. We had one guy from our church, and he had the last joint of his little finger had gone. He'd had an accident, had it cut off. As we're having the time of worship and prayer, he looks down, and his finger has been totally restored, recreated. Isn't that amazing? He's now a missionary up in Ukraine. It's just amazing what God can do. There was another guy there who had a wooden leg. He had a wooden leg, and it got gangrene at top, and he came in, and basically he's going to die. So they said, well, if you're believing for a miracle, take the wooden leg off. So he's trying to balance like this, and there's the gangrene, and the wooden leg's gone. And as they prayed for him, another leg just developed, and he was fully grown. It's just, you see, it is hard to comprehend these things. How can that happen? Well, it's God. God makes people. God's got lots of spare parts. He can make things happen. There were times when there were flames of fire that leapt 15 meters, 50, 60 feet in the air off the church building. Wow. And people who described it said it was like the building was on fire and flames were going up and flames were coming down. It was like this fire could be seen and heard, and it was so much that they called the fire brigade a number of times because people said the building is on fire. But it's just the fire of God dancing on top of the building where the presence of God was dwelling. Wow. Isn't this amazing? Another guy there. Now, this one here, I thought, man, this is a phenomenal miracle. This is phenomenal. So you think of God. I never wouldn't have thought of that. This guy got a prophetic word that he had a call of God to preach. Trouble was, he was illegitimate, he was uneducated, and he couldn't read at all. And so he said, he complained to God, he said, how am I going to preach if I can't even read? And the Lord said to him, go sit down and get a Bible and read it. So he bought a Bible, sat down, and as he began to read, he could read. Just supernaturally, he could read. And he read right through the Bible in a week. As soon as he'd read through and completed the whole Bible, he could no longer read the Bible. Wow. Like that. Wow. But he could remember all of it. And so if you spoke to him, he could recite verses and give you the chapter and verse. If you asked him about adultery or any sin like that, he could give you every verse in the Bible on adultery and the chapter and verse that went with it. And so he went around preaching, but he never needed a Bible because he remembered everything supernaturally. Wow! Isn't God amazing? Isn't it amazing? They would go down to the train. People started to come from all around the world. They'd go down to the train station, and as people had come to the revival, they'd get out of the train. When they got on the station, they'd be slain in the spirit. And they said frequently there'd be people slain in the spirit the whole length of the train station. Just the moment they got off the train, the power of God hit them and came down upon them. There were several blocks around the church, people were being slain in the spirit and speaking in tongues for the first time. Isn't that something else?
Wow.
That is the early rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the latter rain. That's the earlier. We are yet to wait for if the early rain is that good, man, I can't wait for that latter rain. We want to see that latter rain. And so we need to be in prayer and expectation and hungry. We don't want to hear that it was somewhere over the other side of the world. We want it here in New Zealand. Absolutely. And it's quite good if you look in New Zealand history, you'll find there was revival and moves of God before the white people even came. Man and white appeared to them, talked to them. Revival came. So anyway, I went up to Venezuela. So you can see I'm really hungry. Yeah. I'm really hungry for God and hungry. You don't want to get older and then you're just kind of half-hearted about your faith and maybe. You want to stay passionate. But you've got to feed that life. You've got to feed it. And so I went around and be going to these conferences. And in Venezuela, the recent conference that I was at, we have with us doctors. And so they bring two doctors from Miami and become good friend to one of them especially. And then if they can get local doctors, they get local doctors. They all wear coats, you know, they're the doctor. And they all have a ultrasonic scanner, a phone with an app on it. So whatever the ultrasonic scanner can pick up is put on the app. And then it's on the phone and then they can put it up on the screen and you can see it. Now, in each of these conferences I've been to, there have been what you call creative miracles. Now, creative miracles, I talked to the doctor, and he came and he said, I am still trying to get my head around it all. He said, I had never seen anything like it. He said, I had a lady come to me, and she had one kidney missing. I checked, and I saw the scar where it had been removed. He said, I got the scanner and put it on the other kidney so I could get a picture of what a kidney, good kidney looks like, and had the picture there. I went the other side, there was nothing there, and I couldn't find anything there. And so I said, well, let's pray again. So I prayed again and then put it up. There's a kidney, all attached, all functioning, just like that. He was able to put it up. And lots of things like that. We had one, a man had a lung removed, a big scar, lung removed. Had lung cancer, one's removed. They took the scan of him, the lung had just been recreated, a creative miracle of God. Isn't it amazing? We had one lady, and there were two breasts missing because she'd had to have them amputated because of cancer, and they were recreated in the meeting. It's just astonishing miracles. I talked to the doctor and said, how did you handle it all? And he said, I'm still trying to get my head around what we're doing, and I can't keep away because I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. I have taken the pictures to fellow doctors, and they're just left stunned. They cannot explain it. And he showed me a picture there on his phone, and there was a lady had kidney stones. You can see the kidney, you can see the stones. Next picture, no kidney stones, just like that. Five of them, all gone, just like that. Just amazing, amazing miracles. Just so astonishing. All those kind of things. There was another woman, and she wanted to have children, and her womb had been removed, and her ovaries removed, and they checked after prayer, and they had been recreated. You can imagine how happy she was.
Wow.
Let me just pop a couple of pictures up so you can sort of see what it looks like over there. There's a lady there, and that lady is how she came into the meeting, and the one on the right is how she left after prayer. There's that guy. Now, if you just notice there, if you have a look, you'll see that his shoulder on the left side is very, very slumped. You'll see a better picture of it in a moment. They prayed for him. You take the next picture. Oh, no, it's another one. We've somehow got him out of order or lost it. That's a person whose foot was crippled, and it was all twisted and distorted. That's someone who had a uterus that had been removed, and now the uterus is there and perfectly healthy. Next one. There it is, that person there. Now, you can see the distortion in his body, the shoulder and the terrible deformation that's on one side, and after prayer, you see what it was there. Whoa. Before, after. Whoa. Isn't that astonishing? Just to see things like that. And here you can kind of get an idea of everyone in there. That's just the pastor's meeting. That was the biggest meeting they'd ever had. They had all the pastors come together, pastors and leaders. They came together, and there were nearly 9,000 of them. And that was just the meeting just before the glory of God came, and they got everyone going for it. Next one. And this is the actual crusade. There were about 50,000 people there. And that's just, it was hard for me to get out. I just even couldn't get in the crowd. It was very difficult. But you get an idea of the kind of sizes of the crowds. Next one. There you are. There we got down there. Those people with the colored shirts are the workers. And you get a picture, an idea of the crowds and crowds of people there. Just rejoicing and being in the presence of God. That night we had thousands come to Christ, and we had 480 documented miracles before we left the meeting. There were many others came up after that. But you can see there the size and scale of it. Just crowds of people coming desperate for God. Lined up since 6 a.m. to get into the meeting. Isn't that something? Oh, my, my. Oh, my, my. Wow, isn't that something? Eh? So we get encouraged in God. And when I see that, and I've got other clips, I couldn't get them to come up on my phone last night on the internet was down. But I've got lots of other pictures here, and you can see just crowds of people. Maybe there's one more picture there. Just check if there's another one. I tried to see one of the hunger among the pastors. Just check, see if there's one more picture. Is there another one there? No, no, no. There's in the altar call, you can just see everyone thronging the altar with their hands up, crying out for God to touch them. It's like you can't move among them. They're so thick, so many of them. We had to believe for the power of God to flow just through the spoken word, and where we could, we mixed in among them. So there's a purpose to the outpouring of the Spirit, and it's always to do with the harvest. Let me just read you a scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You shall receive the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses unto me through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the utmost parts of the earth. So the whole purpose of Pentecost is, one, that you receive power, that your life becomes filled with power, not just the once, but you actually keep your relationship with God. You keep your life with God in the Spirit built up, because God wants you to have power so you can minister to people and pray for people. That's the first reason of the outpouring of the Spirit, is power to meet the needs of people. There's always a need for miracles. There's always a need for power. And these miracles, the Bible says, Mark 16, verse 17, these signs will follow all who believe. In other words, God's intention is you pray for people. If you never pray for people, you can never see a miracle. If you pray once and give up, you'll never see a miracle. You actually have to say, God, the purpose of you giving me the gift of the Holy Spirit is so when I pray, something happens. I will pray privately, I will fast, I will seek your presence, and I will believe that power will flow. I've got a business couple, friend of mine, they have a regular prayer meeting. They just pray in tongues for about 2 hours, and the power of God is there, and many, many miracles taking place, and he's seeing lots of unusual things happening in his business. So it's primarily about power and miracles, and there has to be an expectation for that. When you pray, you don't say, let's pray and see if anything happens. No, Lord, I'm expecting. I am hungry. You have said this. There's got to be a pressure and demand, or you don't see anything happen. You can't just sort of have a go and just see if anything happens. There must be, God, your word says, I believe you want to work through me. Lord, use me. I'm going to be available. If I get a chance, I'll pray for someone and pray that you'll heal them, that you'll set them free of whatever they've got. You don't need to know a lot. You need to just be available and have a prayer life with God and that expectation he will use you. The power is given to you. If you're a young person, believe God to work through you. Believe God for do miracles. My youngest daughter at 9 was casting demons out of people. It's like you don't have to wait a long time, what requires is being in the presence of God, having a prayer life, and then being available to go pray for someone. And when you pray, expect God will show you how to pray. Expect God will give you a prophetic word. Expect God will show you a need or something. Expect God will move. There's got to be God, move through me. Here I am. Lord, use me. You know, use me. There's got to be that hunger and expectation, because in the end times, there's going to be a desperate need for miracles. There's a desperate need now already for deliverance. You cannot believe how many people are troubled by spirits. Their houses are troubled by spirits. They're tormented in their mind. They've got addictions, all kinds of things. And the only thing that can set them free is the power of God. Their counseling won't fix demons. Therapy won't fix demons. Drugs won't fix demons. Nothing fixes them except a believer carrying the power of God cast the demon out. You're called to do that. Give it a go. Give it a go. You never know what might happen. So you notice there that the two major things, number one is power so you can minister to the needs of people, and two is the ability to witness, power to witness. You shall be witnesses unto me. So notice it's not you talking about your church. You're not talking about this or about that. We are to be witnesses that Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. Jesus still does miracles. Jesus is risen from the dead. There is no one like Jesus. Make Jesus the center of your conversation and your talk. He is the one who does these miracles. When we honor Jesus, that's when we see things happening. So the purpose of Pentecost is for you to have power to pray and minister to people and minister the power of God to meet their needs, and for you to be able to witness about Jesus. There's always a great need. And I won't give much detail on this, but I just share with you some simple things that are really needed in this hour that we live in now. And the number one, the first thing that's needed is for compassion, a heart for people. Jesus was moved with compassion. In Matthew chapter 9:35, he saw the crowds, multitudes of people in need, and he said he saw them like sheep without a shepherd, weary, scattered, abused by demonic spirits, and he was moved with compassion. Sometimes when I started in our city, I just walked around praying in the spirit and looking at the needs to feel the city and to have compassion for people. When I was a teacher in high school, I walked around the school praying in the spirit and then began to look to see the needs, to feel God's heart for people. See, you may be afraid to do lots of things, but compassion will help you overcome your fear. When you see the plight of people, you'll alter your schedule, you'll inconvenience yourself, you will reach out to them. The real issue is not just power, it's the need for compassion. God is full of compassion. When you sit down and listen to the stories of people and what they're going through, it should break your heart as you feel a longing to help them in their distress. So pray for God to give you compassion. Read about what God's heart is like. Study it. Get it in there. There's a need for strong prayer. We never see anything happen without strong prayer. The third thing is there's a need for laborers for the harvest. There's a need for people to be available. This is what God is looking for. He does not work in the earth except through people. He wants people who will engage him and partner with him so he can work through them to bring a change and a shift. If you're in a workplace, start to pray in that place. Find another Christian. Believe together for God to shift the atmosphere, bring prosperity, break the things that are harmful to that place. If you're in a school, pray for God to move in the school. Start to join with others and pray for a reviving among the young people. Wherever we are, let's believe God together. And the final thing we need is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need God to come. So we should pray for the rain of the Spirit, the early rain and the latter rain. So to me, this is the key need in the church now. Key need is for compassion for the lost. If you watch too much news media, you'll lose all compassion. You become a spectator to people's terrible plight. If you start to serve people and engage with people, if you give yourself to prayer, God can cause you to feel compassion. You start to feel. You become a listener. Listen to people's stories, the pain, the anguish, the distress they go through, and let your heart be touched and say, God, use me. I don't have much, but what I've got, I'm bringing it available to you. Use me to meet someone's needs. And then build strong prayer life so that when you come to pray, you're conscious of God because you've had that prayer life and that relationship with Him. We can't be casual. This is what we're called here to do. You're not just here to breathe air and fill in time. We're here to help and work with God, partner with God to advance His kingdom. You could do that wherever you are. Where you go, I won't be going. You will go there. If you were available, God could use you. His cry, as Jesus prayed this, when He was moved with compassion, He said, this is it. He said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are very few. There are very few that will engage, very few that will reach out to people. Sometimes it starts with just an act of kindness to someone, and then they start to talk to you. Before you know it, you got a chance to offer to pray for them, and then God touches them. You'll never know what will happen. Sometimes just stopping and being inconvenienced, and then you help someone out, they start talking, and next thing you know, you're praying for someone. And we've found it on planes, I've found it everywhere I go, that people, if you'll take an interest in them and then listen for your moment, God will give you an opportunity to pray for them. It's quite remarkable, praying for them all kinds of places. All sorts of places. I prayed for them in hotel foyers. I prayed for them in restaurants. Prayed for them in many different places. On the plane, on the bus. Remember being on the bus. Can we change seats? I'd like to pray for you. So we changed seats and we got praying. It's just like everywhere there are people. The key thing is, will you be someone who will have the power of God and do that? Why don't we all stand? Let's finish right now. Maybe if you're here and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, this is a great chance to get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you're feeling God saying that He's calling you to start to pray and start to make yourself available for Him to use you, this would be a great time to respond to the Lord. Come on, let's just stand. Musicians, come up. We've got the end of our time now. I'm excited about what God has done, what God is doing, what God is about to do. I want to be fully part of it. I want my family part of it. I want them to experience God. I want my children in the presence of God. I want them to have dreams. I want them to be activated prophetically. This is where the passion lies for life. Say amen. Why don't we just worship the Lord? If you're here today and you need to get baptized in the Spirit for the first time, why don't you make your way to the front? We're going to have a team come and pray with you. If you're here today and you say, I know God is talking to me. I want a fresh touch of His Spirit. I want to be activated into the harvest. I want to get boldness to go and speak to people. I want to get opportunities to talk with people. If that's you, why don't you make your way up and lift your hands to the Lord. We're going to pray and release the anointing of God over your life. Pray and release power for God to use you wherever you are. If that's you, make your way to the front now as we just sing our last song. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're reaching out to you to come and touch our lives. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, we reach out to you, Lord. Our hearts are hungry for you. We cry out, Lord, for you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay, I want you to just listen now. Close your eyes. I want you to listen now. Just listen to the instructions. First thing, are there any people here that came forward you wanted to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues? Just wave your, put your hands up and wait so you get an idea. Okay, some over there, over there, over there, over there, a couple there and there. Okay, I want you, everyone around them, to notice if they put their hand up. Okay, there's some around here, put your hand. Just leave your hand up like that for the moment so people can see you. Okay then, now here's what we're going to do. Just put your hand down for the moment. I want you to listen carefully. Listen carefully to the instructions. Jesus said this: whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Notice desire, pray specifically, believe as you pray, God will give it to you, and then you must take action. See? So what we do is we hunger, we ask, we believe that God will give it to us and receive it and then express that language. So when you get filled with the Spirit, God gives you with that filling a language from your spirit, not from your head, to express the love and life that we have, to thank Him and honor Him. It's a language of the Spirit. So you're not trying to make it up. So here's how we'll go about it. I will lead you in a prayer. I want you to follow me in the prayer. The prayer is declaring our desire for Jesus to fill us with His Spirit as He promised. We're going to ask Him to do that and give us the gift of tongues. We're going to thank Him that right now we receive that gift and we talk to Him and minister to Him. Now, when we get to the end of the prayer, I'll count to three. I want you to take a deep breath, receive the Holy Ghost, and then we all pray in tongues together. Everyone in the whole building, and we're going to pray loudly and strongly, and I want you that have received the Holy Spirit to pray in tongues at that time. Now those around the people who wanted to get filled with the Spirit, if you could just put your hand on them as we lead them through prayer, we will all pray the prayer, we will all receive at the end, we will all speak in tongues at the end. Okay? Instructions, very simple. All pray, all take in a deep breath, then we all receive and pray in tongues. Okay? And so those of you who have been already speaking in tongues, you can receive a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you ready? So I want you all to follow me in prayer. Follow me right now. You ready? Jesus, I come to you now. I am hungry to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I ask you now to baptize me in the Spirit, to give me the gift of tongues so I can worship in the Spirit. Today, by faith, I receive the Holy Ghost, I receive the gift of tongues, and I honor you, Lord. I receive that gift now. Are you ready? One, two, three. Breathe in and let's pray together. I release the Holy Ghost. Fill it with the Spirit, Lord. Fill it. Fire. Holy fire. Fire of God. Let the fire of God come upon us. Thank you, Lord. Receive the Holy Spirit right now. Receive the gift of God. Receive the gift of God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we release your power over everyone here. Touch them. Touch Holy Spirit right now. Lord, touch them right now. I release the power of God. Touch her right now. Thank you, Lord. That's it. You're praying in the Spirit. Touch your Holy Spirit right now. Lord, touch him in the Spirit right now. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's all pray strongly. Let's pray very strongly. Can you just give me that mic? Come on, let's all pray strongly. Microphones, bring the microphone up. Bring the mic up. Hello? Hello? Come on, let's keep praying.